What's that?
That's a good joke.
Take two.
How good was that joke? I'd say it again, but I want to pay those people that were absent today back a lesson. So this last chapter has to deal with vows and promises that we make to God. You know, we laugh at this, but it's people do this. And maybe you've done it. Have you ever done it? Lord, if I just get out of this situation, I'll never... Well, I guess God's okay if you make promises, but he expects you to keep them. You know, so if you're going to make a promise, just make sure you keep it. The problem is, they're really hard to keep sometimes. Because all promises are voluntary. You know, God doesn't force us to make any promises. He doesn't say, okay, you know, you need to make these choices. No, he says, if you make these choices, if you do these things, I will bless you from them. It's funny because as we search through the scriptures, we never see where God places pressure on you to make promises. A promise to God is always voluntary. It is never, ever mandatory. God doesn't require us to give. For God is the giver of all things. That's what James says, right? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so, you know, when we think about, you know, giving or giving ourselves or just doing things for the Lord or making promises to the Lord, whatever promises we make, we need to realize that they're voluntary, they're never mandatory, and if you make a promise, keep it. Jesus talks about this in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 7. Do not make a vow. Remember, the Jews in that day, they had a loophole. The Sanhedrin and the Pharisees were really good at having loopholes. And they said, well, as long as you make a promise on anything other than on God, you didn't have to fulfill it. So they would say, I promise on the temple. Or I promise on, you know, a stack of Bibles. But if you promised in the name of God, you'd better keep it. And every Jew would adhere to that. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about, not keeping oaths or keeping vows in Matthew chapter 7. So the vow is voluntary, he expects us to keep it. So what we're going to be seeing through this last chapter are there several categories of promises, and largely they apply to Israel in that day. Most of these aren't really going to apply to us so much, but we can really learn some great lessons from them. So we won't dwell on a lot of those things, but we're going to see people promises, pet promises, and property promises. Yes, pet promises. Oh, I just love people. So verse 1, we're going to be looking at people promises to begin with. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow certain promises or persons to the Lord according to your valuation. So how would a person in that day dedicate someone to the Lord? What was the purpose of that? You guys familiar with that? How people would be, it was pretty common practice in the days of Israel to dedicate people to the Lord. Anybody have any references?
They did that with the sacrifices even.
Like Samuel?
Like Samuel. Right? Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord, right? And so let's look at that, because I think it gives us a really good idea of, in regards to people, pets, and promise, or pets, I know. So 1 Samuel chapter 11, chapter 1. Somebody want to read that? 1 Samuel chapter 1? Verse 11. Whoever gets there first. Go ahead.
Verse 11?
Yeah, verse 11. Well, read verse 11 and then verse 27.
She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, I will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. and a razor shall never come on his head.
All right. And then go ahead and read verse 27.
For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him.
Right. So this was kind of a common thing. You know, I just dedicated a baby 2 Sundays ago. You know, it's something that we do. We dedicate them to the Lord. And we're saying, you know, Lord, if you do these things, you know, this is what I would like to see in return. Is it bad to dedicate? It's not at all, is it? Because you're not really making a promise. You're saying, this is what I would like to see accomplished. You know, but making a promise, as we'll talk about in a minute, if you don't keep those promises.
And the main purpose of the grain offering?
The grain offering, yeah.
The grain offering was 4 vows.
4 vows.
Of particular.
Right.
The grain offering.
Right. And I think the word offering is key. Yeah. Right? It's an offering. It's something that we do voluntarily. So the principle behind this is the person could redeem himself or a person dedicated to the Lord. So we're talking about redemption. As we go through this, we're going to see that you can actually redeem not only that person, but other people through that. Rather than a person dedicating their life to the service of Moses, they would set a value on that person. It gets really kind of confusing. I don't know how they would have kept up with all these things of the percentages and all that. So it's interesting because we're not on the tithe system today. You know, a tithe might give us a good idea of, you know, what we are to give to the Lord. You know, you could base it on that, but we're really not on a tithe system in that sense. We talked about tithes before, didn't we? Yeah. So we won't get into it too much. Anybody remember where the first tithe came from? Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham.
Abraham, right? Abraham and Melchizedek. So the tithe was a principle given before the law. So we can use that as a principle that God would show us that that could be bear fruit from it. But God doesn't require a tithe from us. He requires a cheerful giver. And I think that that's huge. So we're to be giving a free will offering. We're to be giving with a cheerful heart, as Paul would say in Corinthians. And to be doing that. One wealthy man said, as the Lord shovels it in, I shovel it out. And I think that's a great heart. You know, just keep on giving to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, the more I shovel it out, the more the Lord shovels it in. And that principle is so true. When you give and you give and you give and there's no boundaries, you know, you're not setting up all these things. You're just doing as God's showing you. He's going to reward you so greatly for that. Because God knows how we are about money. One person says you can always tell the heart of a person by looking in their checkbook. You know, you can see what they're writing their checks to. And I think there's a lot to that. So in verses 3 through 8, we're going to be seeing when you dedicated a person to the Lord, in that day, it would establish a monetary value. Look in verses 3 through 8. If your valuation is of a male from 20 years up to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if from 5 years old up to 25 or 20 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. And if from a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 5 shekels of silver, and for a female, your valuation will be 3 shekels of silver. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. But if he is too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for himself according to the ability of him who vowed. The priest shall value him. So, we have this valuation system. Why would some people be worth more than others?
Because they can work more than other people.
That's exactly right. Remember, it's an agrarian society, everything was based on the value in which they could produce. And this isn't sexist, even though, you know, men were getting more than women. It was just on just the way it is, you know.
Well, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Just kidding,
right. And so they were set according to age and the sex of the person being dedicated. This amount had to be paid if the blessing or benefit was received. So if you made a dedication of these things, this debt would have to be paid once those things were made. It was to be paid to who? Who would receive this? Huh? Yeah, in this case to Moses, right? Specifically to Moses. Why did Moses? Why not to just the temple or... What do you think they would use the money for? I'm assuming that they would use that money to pay off, you know, to help people in the society. You know, if something's being dedicated or whatever. So it's just kind of an interesting thing that, you know, it was given to the elder, or it was given to Moses to distribute it or to hold on to it. So the difference in value related to the differences in the opportunities for service to community. That's why there's distinctions of age as well as sex. How would you say that this would apply in a spiritual level or on a spiritual level?
Jesus buying his back.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Jesus paid the ransom, but he's really, if we make a promise to God, you know, on a spiritual level, if we make a promise to God, he expects us to redeem it. What happens if we don't? Let's say we do make a promise to God. What happens if we don't fulfill that promise? It kind of cuts off communication with God, right? You know, that's why the whole thing of confession is so important for us to always be, you know, right up front with God, and you know he knows our hearts, you know, and prayerfully, if you make a promise to God that you can't keep, he's going to show you straight away. I've done that. Have you ever just said, oh Lord, if you do this, I'm promised to do that, and then you get this check in your heart like, oh wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, that's just God saying, hey, don't do that. So the principle is God expects us to pay in full exactly what we promise. Now, if a person is too poor, then God will make provision for them. He can bring what he can do to the priests, and the priest will intercede for that person, and that's kind of what Moses would do, or Aaron, or whatever. Next thing we see are pet promises. 9 through 13. Somebody want to read those?
Mm-hmm. So a person's dedicating another person to the Lord, yet at the same time they're paying. Sounds kind of like an I don't understand that. Like, why would a person? I'm going to give you something, Lord. I'm going to dedicate this person to you, yet I'm still going to pay you money. I don't understand that.
That's part of the deck. Kind of like I was thinking about that too. Kind of like when a woman was being betrothed, you know, the dowry, you know, that was something about their culture, which isn't really even seen in our culture anymore, that if you're going to make a promise, that you have to fulfill it through paying forward it, just as in a dowry. You know, it's just kind of a strange custom that we're not so familiar with today.
Yeah, but
you're committing it.
Getting a wife, though, yet you're paying a dowry. I mean, in a way, that's kind of...
Well, you're getting... Right.
Ultimately,
that makes sense, though.
It was because of the culture, because the truth is that the father was losing someone to help around...
Right. No, I mean, that
whatever it is.
Right, what he's saying is that you're having to pay to give something to somebody. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I want to understand, like, if I'm... What does it mean to consecrate? What does it mean actually, kind of, to consecrate a person to the Lord in this, like,
to dedicate him over into service?
Yeah, and yet you're paying. It's just like, okay, Lord, I'm.
Yeah, I think just like it's like the tithe. You know, it's the same principle. We give a tithe not expecting anything in return. You know, hopefully, other than just blessing. And I think it's the same type of thing. We're dedicating this person to the Lord, and we're paying to dedicate it to them, dedicate the person to them, and that's just showing that this is a promise that you're going to keep. I think that's the principle, or not the principle, because I don't think it's setting any modern-day principles for us, but just the part of that culture. So
would it be considered like an offering then?
Yeah, that's what you were just talking about, for sure. For sure. Go ahead, Andrew.
So this whole section is making me think about Romans 12:1-2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think that the Lord just wants that. Basically, our willingness to serve Him and availability.
Yeah, right.
And in that, He's already taken care of us. He's already provided for us. But we're giving back, but then we're also just doing what would bless us. You know, so maybe that questioning that you got is good, because He's like, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a great scripture. Yeah. I mean, I like that scripture because it says that we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, for it is our reasonable service. You know, everything's to be done out of a thankful heart for what He's done, right? You know, and you know, we look at it as a monetary value and getting something in return. But, you know, that being in return, God is the giver of those gifts. I mean, this is all God's anyway. We learned that last week. You know, the land is His. Everything is His. All we're doing is giving back to Him what is His, to show a point of true dedication.
And salvation is of the Lord, you know. So it's like you were talking about earlier, peace. You know, that peace, that's our response. That's what He's enabling us to do for what He's already done.
Right.
And that's why gratitude is so essential, because we're not grateful, we're not even.
I know, isn't it cool, like Ephesians and Colossians, you know, walk circumspectly, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or do not be drunk on wine, for it leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, you know. And then He always throws in with a thankful, you know, and everything with thankfulness. Philippians, Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Him. Everything's about thankfulness. You know, and it's having that kind of heart that brings that true peace. You know, and I think that's that kind of the principle here. You know, is God saying, just give back to Me what is Mine and a little extra, you know, and because it's always, it's not only, I think that's the other key to this too, is that it's not always just providing for yourself blessing, but it's providing for others. You know, so since you're giving it to the priests, you know, they're probably giving it to everyone else.
Basically did that vow, you know, you saved my daughter's life and I'll devote my child to you. And then, boom, we're sitting here.
Yeah.
We've been taught under that vow, basically.
Yeah, so that's cool. I forgot about that, yeah. Yeah, very, very cool.
There's a particular amount of blessing in being consecrated, and that's why the person wants to consecrate, wants to basically give this person to the Lord. And it does cost. It did cost for our consecration,
mm-hmm.
you know, the blood of Jesus. So, consecration kind of costs, you know, and we do reap benefits from being consecrated to the Lord. So I guess if you are giving to the Lord something, I think it just kind of really does speak of Jesus. I think it really does. It costs.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yep. So it costs people and it costs pets. This is so funny to me. It says, and if a beast such as men may bring as an offering to the Lord, all such that, this I'm reading verse 9, all such that any man gives to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not substitute it or exchange it, good or bad, or for bad, or for good. And if he at all exchanges beast for beast, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. J. Vernon McGee told this story about a guy bringing, you know, finding out that one of his cows was sick, so he's going to offer it to the Lord. Well, it ended up being that that cow won the blue ribbon at this fair. And and then the guy says, oh, actually, that wasn't the cow that I wanted. He wanted that one back, you know, and he wanted to give another one. J. Vernon McGee. I get it. He's funny. But that's kind of the point, you know. That's just the wrong heart. You know, sometimes when we think, well, you know, okay, I'm going to tell a story on my mom. She's so funny. Before she was a believer, it was during Thanksgiving, and they were, this is years ago, but they were collecting turkeys from all the congregants here at Costa Mesa. And we're at home, and we finished my turkey dinner, and they had all these bones. I mean, just been the church, you know. And my mom says, yeah, it was on a Wednesday night, and they were collecting turkeys. That's what it was. And Thursday morning, we're having all these, this turkey, and we have these turkey bones. And my mom says, you know, we should take the bones to your church. And I said, why? And she goes, oh, it, you know, they can make turkey bone soup, you know, which is something that they had growing up, you know, through the Depression and all that. And I'm just laughing to myself because that's the mentality of the world. I'm going to give the turkey bones. And I said to her, no, if we took anything over there, I think we'd just take the whole turkey. And that's kind of what God's desire is through this whole thing, is that we wouldn't just leave them the bones, but we'd take everything to them. And, I mean, who in the New Testament held back what they said they were going to give to God?
Ananias
and Sapphira. And there's that whole principle. It's like, man, we need to be careful. We might end up toast. See, I laugh at my jokes. Nobody else does. Okay, verse 14. Who wants to read verse 14 and 15? We're talking about promises for property promises. Actually, read verses. Who wants to read a long one? 14 through 25. All right.
And when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad. As the priest values it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicated it wants to redeem his house, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. If a man dedicates to the Lord part of a field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed of it. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation, it shall stand. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon to him the money due according to the years that remain till the year of Jubilee, and it shall be dedicated from your valuation.
Deducted, yeah.
Deducted, thank you. If he who dedicates the field ever wishes to redeem it, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall belong to him. But if he does not want to redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field, when it is released in the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord. As a devoted field, it shall be the possession of the priests. If a man dedicates to the Lord a field which he has bought, which is not the field of his possession, then the priest shall reckon to him the worth of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee, and he shall give your valuation on that day as a holy offering to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, to the one who owned the land as a possession. All your valuation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs to the shekel.
Since you're on a roll, would you mind just reading through the end of the chapter?
But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it is an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it is an unclean animal, then he shall redeem it according to your evaluation, and shall add one-fifth to it. Or if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. No person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants to at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. Concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not require whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai.
Would you mind reading that all again? You know, it's, all of this is very confusing. When you read through it, you're like, okay, how do they keep track of it? They didn't even have calculators then. At least today we'd have software program that you just enter in, right? But there's a principle behind all this that is very, very beautiful to me. And this is kind of the closing principle that I wanted to look at here. When we dedicate something to the Lord, when we say, okay, Lord, this is yours, you do with it what you want to do. If it's a person, if it's a pet, or if it's property, or whatever it is, if you do it, and God will honor it in a very special way, you know. And the point of this, though, is that we keep them. You know, we keep those vows. I have a personal experience with this that still blows my mind today. And that was a year after we started our church. I owned a packaging company. And the packaging company was worth a lot of money. And I dedicated that company to the Lord in 1995. I brought in a business partner, and we said, Lord, this is your company. We're dedicating it to you. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. And it was so beautiful. And everybody came in through that door knew we were Christians. Even our sales reps that were not Christians, we'd use scripture in our meetings. I mean, I didn't care about it, getting sued. You know, it's much worse today. I didn't care about those things. And we're like, we're dedicating this to the Lord. And the company was very profitable. We were giving money away, you know, for this and that, and it was just awesome years. And then in 2003, what year is it now? Yeah, or actually 2004, the Lord started putting on my heart to start the church. And so I started the church. My partner was in it, you know, he was okay with it. And then after we started the church, the business started going bad, and we're like, okay, let's sell it, let's just get out. So we started to look for a buyer, and we found a couple buyers, and the deal just wasn't satisfactory to my partner, and things started getting ugly and sticky, and we started standing up for our rights, and it got bad. My partner was on the board here for years. I mean, he's a godly guy, and I wasn't acting godly, he wasn't acting godly, and here we're starting this church, and oh man, it just got horrific. And the reason is because we were holding on to it. It became ours. We took it back from God. And I remember the day that I was driving on the way to work. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? And I started the company in 1989, and I brought him in as a partner in 1995. So it was my company, but I gave him half the company just to come in as a partner. And so I'm driving to work, and God says, pull over. So I pulled over, I'm sitting right off of Warner down here, and he said, "So you did what?" And I said, he goes, "You did what?" He goes, "I thought you dedicated this company to me." And I'm like, "I did." And he goes, "So why are you trying to take it back?" And I said, "Because I'm trying to serve you, Lord, and if I had $1.5 million in my bank account, I'd be able to serve you easily." And he says, "Oh, is that what you think?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what I think." And he says, "All right, give it to him." I said, "Give it to him?" He says, "Yeah, give your partner the company. I'll take care of you." So I walked into my partner's office and I said, "God told me to give it to you." And he says, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You have a lot more faith than I do." And I said, "Well, that's to be seen." Once my wife gets a hold of me, she might think differently. But I remember, you know, to me, that was the biggest blessing God has ever shown me, because he's continued to provide for my needs. And this is what just cracks me up. I make less than half the money that I used to make. And I have more in my bank account today, and I am more debt-free than I've ever been. And what it showed me is that God is faithful to keep his promises. When we don't if we don't lean on our own understanding and we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, this is what he promises. And those promises come in ways that they still blow my mind. Every month I wonder, how are we going to pay for our bills? We're always right there on the edge. And it's awesome. I mean, I was one of those people, I always had $150,000, $200,000 in my bank account. I was just one of those people who had money. I had more stress in those days than I do now. Now I have $15 or $20 in my bank account, and I stress a lot less. And the point is that the whole book of Leviticus was given to us that we might have whole lives, that we might be able to enjoy life and the fruit of his gifts and his love for us, that we would just trust in him and walk in holiness. And that's really where he wants us to be. And so that's what the promises are to God. God, if I promise to follow you and to dedicate my life to you, he will reward you for them. Just fulfill your promises. Don't try to take it back. And whether they're persons, pets, property, or even businesses, whatever it is. So that being said, let's pray. And I'm going to give you guys your... Don't freak out. They're really easy, I think. You know, I'm not... I haven't given a lot of tests in my days, so... It could be really hard. I don't know. Just know that it's only going to be a small portion of this, and I'll give you a hint. They're going to be easy. Okay, that's not a hint. Yes. Oh, yeah. No, there's just a lot of them. There's questions. Oh, yeah, and don't grade me on grammar. I started to get up this morning to redo it all, and my computer crashed. I had to come in here to print them off. So just don't grade me on grammar. And that was my excuse for having bad grammar.
We appreciate you preparing that for us, actually, because...
That's more than some of the other ones. Usually they take it. Usually they tell us what it is. Yeah. I don't even talk about that. Like, I do that. Like, I'm like, what is this? I know what I'm saying, but it doesn't even make sense. You know, it's like horrible grammar. Yeah.
My question was for
Yes.
Are you in a club or something?
No, there's just a bunch of guys at our church. We get together. So Saturday we did a ride in Ortega, off of Ortega Highway. And it was an awesome ride. But I was so tired on the way back because it's a 9-mile climb up. And on the way back, I'm like just so tired. I didn't bring enough food. I crashed 3 times. I've got this stuff all over my body.
You didn't have bars?
Huh?
You didn't bring bars?
I did. I just didn't bring enough. I mean, we climbed 4,000 feet in elevation. I just wasn't prepared. It was the first time we did it, you know?
Where?
Oh, I know. It was stupid. Yeah, it was stupid. I was stupid.
So you fell?
So,
on the bike?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But and then, you know, we left my house at 5 a.m. We got to there at 6. We rode for 4 hours. We turned around and came home, and then I had to go. We did an outreach in Watts, and then Sunday morning, I'm just like, I'm gonna go home and go to bed today. Get to do a little. It was fun though.
Where did you get
bikes? Well, almost every weekend we go to Newport Coast, up at El Morro. There's a whole bunch of mountain bike trails up there. Tons and tons of them.
Mountain bike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so.
I set up my mom. She got like a GoPro.
Yeah.
Yeah, the GoPro thing isn't.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is it like, is it multiple choice? Or is it like?
I haven't decided yet. Let me just say, some might. I was going to do multiple choice, but the problem I'm having with that might be more work for me. And I really don't know what my week's going to be like.
You guys are all smart.
Well, I've been accumulating over time, though. I didn't just like sit down and just think of all these. I've been accumulating over time. And they're all stuff that we've covered, and some of the stuff's from Wiersbe's book. But it'll be a small portion of these. And if you're familiar with them, you're going to get them easy.
Well, there's a question on chapter 21 to 22, number 2. That's the
easy question. He's going to ask particular methods and how to
Yeah.
How many sprinklings on the
bay? I started. There's only one area that I did do that, and that was in the priest clothing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
okay, where's the anointing? Will be like to the tip. Of
that's
the
on there.
Like there?
Yeah, that's on there.
You need to go buy more North cards.
Yeah, I didn't do all the sprinklings and all. I was tempted.
Yeah.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
That's why I decided, I mean, if to have somebody actually go back and review all 27 chapters, and I'm like, that's really hard. But this will be good for you.
It really is an occupation. I mean, the priests, there's a lot of, I bet you there was kind of like this, you had to grow up into it and be trained by the, you know, if you were the son of the priest and you were to one day fill those shoes, he had to learn, and there's a lot to it, and you can easily screw it up. And
just like that is for us.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's some learning, it's a lot of training that probably goes into it, so.
And you think about it. Being a true priest, somebody that can point you to God, it takes time. I mean, sure, we get born again and we're zealous and, you know, God can use us and we can bear fruit in our lives, but to be somebody that you can go to point you to God, that, for some people, it takes a lifetime. Well, all of us, it does a lifetime, but, you know, it takes a lot of diligence, reading the Word and praying and trusting and allowing God to take you through circumstances and situations that are difficult.
It's a maturity process.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Sanctification.
Yeah.
All
Yeah, and everything—that's the one thing I've just seen in God's character. Everything He does is so slow and easy. It's not this overnight success that we always think it should be. You know, it's slow and easy in everything. You know, because none of us are that smart.
Well, yeah, it's not intelligence though, but yeah.
So
when you see fast and intense, then does that mean that it's more like works?
Well, it's probably man. Yeah. You know, I was in marketing for 25 years, and everything is about put out and return. You know, how fast, you know, how do you do that? How do you get the fastest results? Well, God isn't concerned about that so much, about speed. He's concerned about character. You know, His purpose is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ and to be holy, you know, and that doesn't happen overnight. I don't know anybody that's been made holy overnight. Well, except for Jim, James, Richard. So let's pray, you guys. We can get on going. Father, we thank you so much, and just for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I just pray for these men and women, Lord, as they prepare this week for so many finals and papers and all the different things that, Lord, you tell us that the Holy Spirit came to bring back to remembrance. And so I pray that that would be true with their studies, Lord, that as they sit down to do their papers and their finals, Lord, that you'd just bring back to remembrance all those things, Lord. And that it wouldn't be about the grade, Lord. It would just be about getting to know you more. And so we just pray for your grace to shine upon all of them. And especially this week, Lord, as it comes down to the rubber hits the road for them all. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much.
You betcha.
I'm going to do it.
the Lord.
I did it like as if I was.
I can put the scripture in there. Like I can each verse I can put it in.
I didn't do that because I thought that I'd take up too much space.
I know, that's what I want it there for.
No, it's not calculated. Okay, where's the chapter? There's 31 chapters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because look how many.
Right. Point one, point 15 of a page would be for each verse.
It's just like the first half books. So we'll look at it.
Yeah, which is about.
You've got some problems. You know, like.
Double space.
Right now.
We did that way.
People talking to you.
Some verses, like for me, some more verses, I couldn't, like.
That's God. Literally.
Like, Seth, you gotta see it, guys. For me, one was like, some verses, like, sometimes I put like four verses together, and then I send it. Sometimes I'm right. You can't, like, you'd be like re saying things over and over if, because, like, a lot of us verses are, like, similar.
Do you have more classes?
This class for John.
I know, that's cool.
Huh?
This class for John.
Missions?
That's like a.
How many units did you take in this semester?
I actually did. I tell you a dream that when you were down there.
Oh, yeah, there's 15?
And then, what's the space?
So you
interpreted
this,
it for me.
And then what else?
So I was like, because it was like one of those dreams. That it was like, because you know when you can tell like what, like you know. It was a spiritual dream. Like I could tell it was something more because it was biblically based. Like I was speaking at a women's conference, and like that's what the Lord has told me that I'm going to be doing. And so like I was speaking at one, but like I looked in the mirror and I was like, that's not me. But then I looked at my face and it was the same face.
I just want to come back and
wait. And I was like, hey, that's the only way I want my hair to be. So.
This will be my last.
Yeah, I've had visions. I saw things and then. Like I
go to work right now, and like, yeah. It was really tough, you know. Like,
I knew it was a spirit. I'm pretty sure it was like really bizarre.
They expect me to go to school.
Yeah,
and have like, I'm like 2 days of work and stuff, and push it there, and go back. You know, it's like, I know that's like kind of life, but the ministry is, you know, it's like.
I don't know what that looks like.
I wouldn't
necessarily think like I'm going to be a long-term.
So you go over to the study?
Yeah, like just like there's a campus and
every couple
teach, yes,
and preach, especially
pray about that.
Like, women's conferences that they do.
Yeah, well, I know it's not like, oh, I have to go.
That's what the Lord has told me.
If God gives me that time,
specifically,
at least Mary
has this gnarly dream
that.
Yeah, then the Lord was like, in my dream, Lord, I'm going to send you here to bring.
I have two more semesters.
Now, I met some
I have
this boy.
Well,
he's like 14. And I don't know if my like specific boy there, but it was just like, I'm going to send you here.
I have two
to preach the Lord. So it's kind of interesting because I had no idea about my area, but then I was in the news. And I'm like, oh great! Like, all right, that's interesting. And that doesn't scare me because in my dream, like, people were like,
just,
"You can't go. You're single."
Just like,
you know, and your wife, like, that's the worst thing. And in my dream, I was like, "No, I'm going."
Happening in my life.
And so, like,
not
all
the
prayer.
The Lord,
I don't know. I'm waiting on the Lord for that one. But anyway,
right, so far, that's my plan.
It's okay to ask God to verify.
I don't know what.
I don't think that I would have enough faith, but like sometimes we want a little double of. That's interesting. Like, So that's really what I, at least in my life right now, is the focus what he's doing, is really just actively, truly, you know, saving the future, you know, changing things, doing all that. And so that's what I see in my life. I was telling Holly this the other day, like, I do hear from the Lord, but I don't register it always, because my soul is, or I'm like a child weaned from his mother, and like, I'm not like that. Like, I kind of have this picture of myself and God, like, he might be in the room with me, but I'm like that little 2-year-old who's screaming, where's my parent, where's my parent, and it's like, he's right there, but if I don't see him directly, like, I get frantic. I think he's left me. And he might be like in the room shifting things, like putting out food or like putting out clothing. And so, like, I know he's there taking care of me. But if I'm not like, I see your face, like, I can't, like, I'm not to the point. I feel like I'm getting there. But like, in my walk, like, I want to be like sitting on his lap all the time. Like, I don't want to be like, okay, he's over there. Like, I don't have that peace always. And like, I always have to hear his voice. I always have to like have that assurance, because I'm not really grounded in his love to the fullest that I can, you know? I'm not exactly there that I want to be. But I was praying anyway about it, because and so my pops said I was going to meet this lady this year, but then I was like, but I told that person there was this one person who came up all the time, it wasn't just because she came up, but she would be something, and
I was just like, it's not
it was all basically
not good. Like, it's just so
But I knew that it was not a thought. It was so for self.
The last semester, so it was like last year.
With intricate circuits, I was worried. Not to be with other people, or with me too.
Same with Bob, I was just here. And I was still like worried about like how many years, like, filling my.
There's even a verse I read that, you know, we see the things. With prophecy, it's always something that.
It's like sharing this way. So I'm filling my.
In my opinion.
And stuff, and I was prepared for my pastor. I was like,
because,
so, like,
no, for sure.
Because there's a verse I just read.
Like, cautious. I was like, I just came out to the Lord.
We hear the things
I don't think I'm like, you know, trying to infiltrate the church because I literally understand it. Like, I don't believe.
And so.
Like, this is like a couple months before.
As far as
interpreting
and giving prophecy, I think it's not. I don't think it's wise to automatically draw.
Here I'm coming to with the reference
unless
you go.
So I'm like, think about that.
I'm like,
no, and that's
true. And unless you are,
yeah, like, you know, that's the enemy.
And other times people prophesy
always me.
Our interpreted prophecy.
And I'm laughing so hard to interpret.
And I could tell.
I was like,
holy,
like.
I was so close to God, I was so scared to turn it in.
Well, this is the verse I got.
Through his class.
So I was like, Lord, I want to
the lack of performance I had in my life. That's the reason
I
felt
like,
you know, this
like,
is a blessing for this class. Like, this class, like, literally
gave
me this
class.
You know, just a small class.
The Lord's proven in the prophecies, right? But I just want to make sure, because you're right. But it does come from ourselves. Like, I'm sure, you know.
That was a
verse of the Lord.
Every
I don't know if it's him, though, but I just, like, have faith in the Lord God, and you'll make yourself faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful. And so I'm kind of like, all right, I could take that. But then, I don't know. I just
I think... I for me, I always am.
I have, yeah.
I'm careful, and then maybe just me, and it's just me, because I know that I'm careful to. I know I can draw things out of everything, and so I don't want to be at the place where I like go out to school and then kind of like do something. And always just prepare me. Always careful, and ask other people too. And be who is it, and make sure that different people have different things of wisdom. And I'm not saying I'm the wise person in the world, but I know I am right now. I have confidence that God has given me a great amount of wisdom.
I'm just saying, not as wise as learned, but as spiritually. I think, and I totally agree with you. And I think God's given me
discernment
to at a different degree and a different. God's given me discernment for other things. And so I'm kind of questioning that.
I made up my mind.
You know when you have like that feeling of like. If they're a Christian, they would be saved, but there's just something in you that's like, I know God can
something is or not.
Have you read
always
some things that I don't know how to describe.
Is there a prophecy that it does?
No, and I'm sure,
right.
I do believe
but,
the word of God is what we stand on it, because it's like,
I was
the hammer.
I get that, like, I think it's in Jeremiah that he's like, your dreamers may tell your dreams, but what is straw to a brick? I'm pretty sure I got it. Great opportunity to teach our children what Christmas is all about.
And I know I'm
not
married, and my wife's not
married
for me.
And I said, can you just wait for me to finish?
Really?
You forget that I'm the one who taught you. And he said, I think God, that's it. The Lord told me. Come here, it doesn't come to me. It says, like, he goes to other church.
So,
I was like, oh, something bad.
Terrible, but I don't
know.
Did it, well, I mean, like, I'm praying about it.
I cannot apologize.
And I think,
I was like, I'm sorry. No, I'm
gonna, how do you know that, though?
I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die of age. And I had a dream, I had a vision, actually, I was in a car. And it was so weird because it's just like, I can't see anything else besides vision. And I was sitting on a bench, or it was on a bench, and it was kind of like a golden atmosphere type thing. And I was sitting on the bench, and then it was just me there, and I was young, about a little older, like about this age, or around, I don't know, I was really young. And then there's like a girl sitting to the side, and I knew that that was my boyfriend. We were talking about it, and I was just like, you know, it was just a nice thing. And then I kind of like started to like, the goal, this is a goal, but it's kind of like, not fading, but kind of like dimming, the light was dimming. And they were actually talking, and they were getting old, and I couldn't see their faces. I knew one was me. You only could see like this. I knew one was me, and I couldn't, and one was my wife. I didn't see like who she was, but I knew it was mine. But and we're being old, and our hair is graying and stuff, and we're being old. And they were talking, and they were kind of like talking, and they're all quiet, they're still laughing, and she started to fade away.
Yeah,
and then I just my person.
So I thought I was little.
I guess not chill.
I started, it started to be like kind of over, and it wasn't because like it kind of seemed like it was kind of like he was like not weird, but kind of, and then it kind of zoomed on it kind of came to the face, and it was just like so sad, and it was like, you know, yeah, and it was like sad, and I just felt like, you know, I was very old, and then. I mean, I kind of like snapped out of it, and I'm like, what the heck is
going on? And he did the same thing, right?
You probably don't want to tell that to your wife, unless she's like, knows that too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she's going to die.
He doesn't die eventually, but I think what it is like, maybe it's that I don't know why God would tell me that. So, no, I know.
Why did the Lord tell you? And he told her. I guess kind of the thing is,
so what would be the mind? I told Shannon that before, and then she was like, that's where you're not the one thing. The reason God told me is to prepare me, because I am a really loving person in general, so.
So I said, no, we're not going to do that.
I'm okay with that, in a sense.
And I think that's what I was asking the Lord.
And do you want to tell me how to join her plan?
But then I was like, he told
I think I had a clear understanding, and I was realizing of myself and what I was and all that. And I was a clear mind, and I was proud of like, that is a big sacrifice. And I was, it's not as, you know, holy. I understand like the glory of it, but it is truly dreadful. And I was thinking about the things, and thinking about, I was like, God, you know, really. Prepared group for that.
A martyr can be shot in the airport because you're a preacher for the Lord.
I'm talking about, what I was thinking about was like, thinking about the culture stuff, and I was saying, God, like, I know I have confidence in you, what you want in me, that I would, you know, I would be able to be a martyr because you prepared me for that. But I don't really feel like that. And I knew your star was showing me that, and it was kind of appreciate what he was doing that was showing me, you know, his power and that. He is that God. He is my God. And he will correct our vision for all of my life. I'm really pretty sure I'm not going to be a martyr. I'm pretty sure I'm going to die at old age.
That she understands she didn't do anything wrong.
I see you as some like writing tons of like these theological books and dying in old age from some like seminary.
And then I don't know. One pastor actually like that worker. He graduated
from
Great
Mind,
and then you're
like,
yeah. So he's a teacher and.
I had curly hair too, so yeah,
curly hair. After we
had the dream and the vision, I had curly hair and I was
really. Can you let yourself go?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I love those children.
So I know it's gonna be but it's interesting.
That is interesting. Okay. So
I
took my.
It was around
this
time.
Yeah, that was like.
We ended up getting married. We didn't have it for me.
I think it's interesting. The Lord does show us things like that. And that always interests me because.
The description, like,
He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be.
Oh, so you know, because he doesn't perish, and like the spirit shows us things like that, and you can't like go crazy with it because like the word of God trumps all that. You got to make sure, but you know, he lives in you, and he reveals those things to you.
Yeah, I think you know, there's both.
Yeah,
both place. And I don't think God is necessarily going to show you
everything.
No, I'm
sure.
Even
less
or more.
Yeah,
sometimes you know.
He wouldn't tell me when I'm going to get married. There's no remember, like, wondering, and the Lord's like, "Well, sorry, time to know." Well, like, but then the Lord told me like what I'm going to do, part of my soul. So it's like it's all one of those things where it's like He won't give me a word about anything about marriage if He's calling me to singleness or going to get married or going to have kids. But like, I know that what direction He picks and chooses. Let me tell you about that. I'll be right back.
Like Leviticus class, and you know, I'm excited more than any of my classes. And then when Pastor comes to see, like, you know, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yeah.
So you could have got down about getting out of that ministry, but.
Huh?
You could have gotten pretty down about getting out of that ministry, but.
Yeah. Because actually, I kind of wanted to give up that ministry because of Leviticus class, because the Lord's preparing me to go to Israel. So I need to know this. But I was like, I'm already committed there. See, the Lord pulled me up. Because, you know, pulled me up, made it away. I gave it to Him, and He took care of it. So, yeah.
My friend was telling me about it. So I was like, damn, like, I really want to get into some ministry. Wherever it is, like, I want to serve somewhere. Like, I want to do it. And this was before Bible College, and then now I'm going to Bible College, and I serve at my church on Thursday. It's like a college group, and then there's a homeless outreach I go on Tuesdays. So I'm like, this whole semester I've been like on the go, and I'm like half through, I'm like complaining, like, oh, there's so much to do, Lord, what am I doing? And I look back, like, I wanted stuff to do. So like my outlook on ministry is like, always do. And that's not, like, God calls us to be in places where He wants us to be. We rely on Him, not our own strength.
You're right.
Right? And I think it was in John. It was when there was, I forgot
don't
where exactly.
Don't burn yourself up. Don't burn yourself up.
Yeah, that too. And there was a revival going on somewhere with Jesus and disciples, and He left us to go somewhere else. And it wasn't like, you don't stay in a spot just because it's fruitful and like the way you see it. Like, God takes you out. And we're because he sees the outside, you know, like He sees what's going on.
That's like Philip, you know, that he was in Samaria, and then God called him to go to Gaza, and then that's where he met the Ethiopian.
Yeah, because He called him to like walk in the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
right?
I think that like Gaza.
It's like, why am I here?
Yeah, so.
God's ways are higher than ours.
It's amazing.
Those are mine.
Since I fully dedicated my life to the Lord, just hang on to Him, just trust Him. It's been the best year ever. And this year is the best year also. And the best, and the Lord promised me the best of the year. So, you know, it's only Hiroshima made, so there's like 7 more months.
It's always when we look to something else, that's where things seem to go awry. Like, but they're not. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
In any situation. Like,
in any situation, like bad things happen. Just, I don't remember. I can buy from you. See?
That could be a whole situation.
Yeah, but you know, I was like, I'm sure something good is going to come out of this. See what happened? He closed one door and opened so many things. You know, because if I was a client, I wouldn't be in this Bible. But the Lord loves Him to blow my mind.
Right, Moses?
It's a great testimony. You know, I'm telling you, you don't know, like, I have probably, I can write the whole book and what the Lord has done in my life. I'm not good at it.
94 pages, you only have like 74 more.
I love to talk. I love to talk, get a recorder and just talk.
When I talk, maybe when I give my testimony, just record it, huh?
You know, sometimes I have some testimonies there in my car. Like when I went to Israel.
Usually I took pictures.
So I would find a picture. Look, are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, find us.
What's your last name?
Okay, my name on Facebook is totally different. My name is Mimi Bora. My name is Noemi Sorofia, but you know, but my Facebook
name is Bora.
Is that
like Spanish? Well,
because
Filipino is like
Spanish. Yeah, we were conquered by Spaniards, but I don't know where really came Bora, but there's a lot of Bora in Italy.
Yeah, it kind of sounds Italian.
I have a lot of Facebook friends that are Bora from Italy, and they've been asking, like, and plus I've been to Italy also, and they go, like, so are you Italian?
Probably so, because Spanish, Italian?
Yeah, they're stuck. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. They have kind of a language. Spain? Yeah, right. They have like Spanish, France, then Italy. It's all the same, like, region.
Is it? Yeah. That's like a semester job. Maybe you can find me, because I'm on a private list.
I mean, like, if you would, if the only people can search me is my friends, are my friends. Most of them are my friends.
I see his old lady.
What's your name?
Manny Garcia here and the search of Virtual Institute. I didn't post there much, but usually I don't post about church. I got finished my essay, one more paragraph to go.
And which one?
Missions? Yeah.
Due today?
Yeah.
Or you might as well finish it.
It's definitely not done.
Yeah, I have Hebrews and I have projects to we'll do tomorrow night. Like Saddleback. I have Chris tonight. I have to work at 1 o'clock. The Lord is my strength and my refuge.
Yeah, please hear me.
The Lord is my strength.
And so, it's such an easy, like, remember, fix your eyes on Jesus, but I always think it's something else, like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm doing this, right? It's like, you know?
It's funny, because yesterday I went to a Vietnamese restaurant after the church here, and the guy was like, oh, you're so good, are you married? I said yes to Jesus. I'm like, okay. Are you married? When I went to Israel, I was in a taxi also. The guy was like, and it was night and I was by myself. I was like, where are you going? I'm going to the hotel. I was like, are you married? I said, yeah, to Jesus. It's like, so where's your husband? I said, he's everywhere, you know, and then he said, is he gonna be in the hotel? I said, of course, you know. And I was like, they asked me a lot of questions, but you know, but I'm still answering, you know.
Let's go.
How long have you been married? I was like, quite a while. Like, really, you married? I said, yeah. Did you see my wedding ring? There's another, this is, yeah, it's at my Hebrew ring. Yeah. This kind of kept the guys away, though. Well, because actually, when I was in Mexico, on top of the pyramid, I said, Lord, this is the guy that I want to be married with. And I said, and I'm not going to, from now on, I'm going to enjoy my single life. I know it's kind of hard to find this kind of guy that I wanted, but I know if you have someone, just bring him to me. I'm not looking.
That's what I'm saying too. I'm like, God, punch me in the face, like, that's, I really want me to marry. I don't really, like, my ideas are just really off.
Yeah, so, you know, I said, and I enjoyed my single life. And, that's why I said, I think I'm really blessed to be single.
I think I'm going to change to Hebrews 4. Because you're doing Hebrews 10. No.
Do 11, then I'm going to change.
Well, and it's also, I want to do Hebrews 10, but like, if you're doing it, I don't know. And it's 39 verses 4 has.
Come on, Amanda.
13 verses. No, sorry, it goes on the other page. 16. That's 16 verses versus 39.
That's harder.
Well, it's fine. I can add scripture in my thing.
Go ahead. So you have to do regret not doing chapter 10.
No.
Chapter 1.
Like, Marcus was right.
No. I'll this never admit cruel. That. Because we, like, that 10
of it. Fat hole.
Yeah, for sure. Under 4. So much easier.
Write a paper. Recording. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking.